Yeah, show me your boobs.
Hey guys.
Hello there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Your Boobs.
Volume 2.
So, we kind of just needed to take a step back. Bertha took so much time and energy, and so we wanted to take it a little easier and let some other people do the work for this episode. And these are fun for us because we generally don't know what's coming whenever we talk to people and they give us their story. So that's exciting for us because we get new information and we learn with you all at the same time.
It is. It's very exciting.
And it couldn't have come at a better time because I've just started a new job and I'm working a lot and I'm exhausted.
You poor thing.
I know. You quarantine for a couple weeks and all of a sudden when you have to go back to work, it's like,
fuck. Guess who gets to go back tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a month. It will be a month Sunday since I've been off due to my injury. So I am like so excited.
And so this isn't a normal kind of episode. This is much more laid back and just us and without a big story to tell, I guess. And so in this episode, we won't be sharing iTunes reviews or anything, but I did want to mention something about the iTunes reviews since I brought it up. See what I did there?
Way to go. Didn't see that coming.
If you leave a review, it may take a few weeks before you hear your review called out because we try to do these early and ahead of time. So if it takes a little while for you to hear your name, we didn't forget you. It just takes a little bit of time for us to come back to that, around to that. So usually we get these and it's 3 weeks maybe before we actually, the episode airs that we have recorded on the day that you left your review. So
it's coming, or the just week. Hang in there.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that we're not leaving you out. I mean, if we do, by all means say something, but I don't think we will.
You're adorable.
But we're not going to go over reviews this time. Just this, that's normal stuff. So anyway,
this is not
no, but so before we start any other spooky stories, I wanted to mention because my dad called me after the UFO episode aired, and he says that he was talking to Nina and she said, well, we saw that.
The UFOs?
Yeah. And I'm like, wait. So anyway, I end up calling her because he said, you know, call her, get the story from her. Because my dad's, he was just a kid. And he said, I didn't remember it and I don't remember seeing it. I just remember hearing the stories about it afterward, you know, and that's how he has the memory. And so I call her and I'm like, you saw the UFO in Piedmont. And she goes to telling me, and first you have to know, Nina. Okay, Nina is not hugely spiritual. She doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to give that off, but she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's totally closeted there. She acts like she's just real, I don't know, not, she's just not that floofy kind of spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's something. So anyway, I would think that Nana was the kind of person who would make fun of people who said they saw UFOs. Like, that's how
she's one of those
straight laced she is. And so I ask her, Dad tells me that you saw the UFO in Piedmont. And she says, yeah, we did. And I'm okay. You're going to have to give me more than that. So she goes into this story. And here's what she told me. She said, they were going fishing
Which they did a lot of, right?
Yes. And they went to Clearwater to go fishing. So they are getting out to go fishing. And she says, here comes this huge, she called it a flying saucer. And she said it came out over the top of the lake and it hovered right above the lake. And she said it was almost touching the water. It was hovering there. And apparently, from what I gathered from this story that she tells me, it wasn't like, oh, I thought I saw some lights. No, this was like there was a flying saucer with lights around the middle of it. Straightforward. There was no doubt. I'm guessing this was daytime. From what I understood, she saw this clearly. And she said it's hovering there over the water. And she said it has lights on it around the middle of it. And it looks like it's spinning because of the way the lights flash. That is exactly what we heard in another story. And she said the lights were blue and green. And she thought there was a red and orange light too. She knew it was red and maybe orange or yellow. And so we heard blue, green, amber. Red and amber, mm-hmm. which would be an orangish kind of color. And so she's describing exactly what we have described. And Nina's not into UFOs. It's not like she's been studying this since it happened and just...
And she's not really the type that would just blur stuff like this out. Like, she just all of a sudden tells the story.
Yeah. And so... She says that, and she said, and then she says, Papa grabbed his gun. He's like, I'm going to shoot it down. And she has to say, you cannot shoot that. Put the gun away. But they left. They were so scared that they left. They just packed up the shit and left. So, yeah, they saw the UFO at Piedmont. And
this would have been good to know in that episode.
I know. She may as well have been. The calmness that she had telling me this, she may as well have been telling me a story about driving past a field and seeing a cow. Like, that is how, of course, she saw a UFO. Like,
yeah, like, duh.
I'm like.
Haven't you?
Of all the crap stories you have told me growing up, you missed that one. Like. Oh, I would have thought that would be something she would have shared at some point with me, but no, I had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And she does have some really cool ghost stories about a house that she lived in St. Louis. And my dad's been telling me about this house. And so he actually remembered the address, which is cool to me. I mean, I would.
How old was
that.
He? Do you know?
He was a young child. I'm not sure when they moved.
And he remembers the address?
Yeah, he remembers the address. So I looked it up and it's crazy. I always picture this house being like this ginormous house and it's like teeny tiny. It's like 600 square feet.
I remember you seeing it online and you're like, wait, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's wrong. And he's like, is it a blah, blah, blah house with a blah, blah, blah? And you're like, yeah. That's it?
These stories, I grew up listening to these stories about this house, and that's one reason that... You know, paranormal and ghosts has never been any kind of big, crazy, outlandish thing to me. It's because I grew up with it. I'm trying to get her to come on and tell those stories.
You might just have to have your dad tell what he's heard her talk about.
Yeah, maybe. I've heard a lot, but anyway, That's Nina's UFO story that blew my mind.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's your grandma.
And also, the house that they lived in St. Louis that was haunted, I actually have been looking up some records on that to see if I can substantiate what they say happened there, because it's kind of an outlandish tale. So,
finding anything yet?
Not yet.
No.
I know. So... That's going to take some more investigating to find, and maybe there's nothing to find, and that's why. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I have no cool stories like that. Dad has some stories. I'm going to have to talk to him more in depth about it.
Yeah.
Just so I can talk about it instead of just sitting over here listening to you all the time.
Well, I think we've got a listener that's going to tell her story. I think Emily will be on.
That's very exciting.
And, yeah. I'm excited to hear that story. And I talk with Emily quite a bit. She is a listener, an avid listener. She's a huge supporter of the show, so we love her. And she has a lot of stories. She's a very spiritual person, and she's a genealogist too, so she has a ton of great information. And I'm super excited to hear her story.
That's awesome. Sounds like it's gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll let you guys get to it then.
Hey guys, we have Emily on the phone, and she is from Stark City, Missouri. She has a couple stories to share with us. One about her house ghost that her and others have had a lot of experiences with. And she also has an interesting story about her ghost friend that she calls her guide. And so, Emily, welcome to Show Me Scares.
Thank you.
So you have a couple interesting stories, and I'm super excited for us to share these. Do you want to tell a little about yourself before you start?
Sure. First time doing podcast, so this is a great experience. I thank you for letting me come on. I have had many experiences over my lifetime. The first time I ever remember seeing anything was about 4 years old. At my grandfather's funeral. I don't particularly like the term medium because I do a lot more than that. I'm focused on helping the deceased person's spirit stories be told, if that makes sense. I'm into a lot more of record searching and matching people to places and stories and sorting out things from the other side, if that makes sense. So
it does. That's very interesting to me. I've never heard anyone kind of go into that much detail about it. So that's one reason I was really excited. I knew that you kind of stood apart from others, and so I'm glad that you shared that. Thank you.
Totally. Because I have a special skill of being able to do genealogy by mediumship, where I can talk to an ancestor and get the story, and it actually has sorted out a lot of stories for people when they're doing their ancestry, because, well, I heard great granny tell me this, but is that really true? And yeah. Anyway, so the first story I'm going to share is about our house ghost, just because it's a really short one and it's not terribly exciting. It wasn't like she was a poltergeist or anything. So I live in my grandparents' home. It was built in 1890. It used to be a two-story house. In the 1950s, my grandparents decided to remodel. So they took off the upstairs and turned it into, like, from the outside, you would not know that it was a 1890s farmhouse at all.
Oh, wow.
It looks like it was built in the 50s. It's terrible. But anyway. Like, I have bemoaned the fact that that beautiful upstairs is gone my entire life.
Oh, I'm sure.
So the man that built the house was named William Pipkin. And that will be an interesting tidbit for later in the story.
Gotcha.
When I first moved back into the house, because growing up, I was just here visiting, you know, here and there. So in 2012, I moved into our house. Into this house. And the first or second night I was here, I was in bed. And I woke up and couldn't move. So you know the story, sleep paralysis, right?
Right.
Well, I freaked out because, one, it felt like there was a male presence. Two, it felt like somebody was sitting on me. Not just like, oh, I can't move. No, it literally felt like someone was sitting on me. At first, I thought, oh, it's just my cat. Then he came into the room.
Oh, my.
So I knew it wasn't him. And I was like, okay, what is going on? And for in that moment, when my cat came into the room, that broke whatever it was. And I was able to move. Well, I freaked out. freak out. I went into the living room and grabbed our fire poker.
Oh.
Which is made of pure iron. And I slept with it the rest of the night. So that was my first experience in this house.
Wow. And how long were you there before that happened?
2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was right away, like, you know, hey, you're in my room. Then off and on, I would catch someone outside of my eye in the hallway. In the living room, there's a doorway, and there used to be the stairs that went straight up, right? Uh-huh. It's now like a linen closet. So I would see someone standing there all the time, and I would say hi, and she would say hi back off and on, and then she would just disappear. At first, it only happened 2 times a year, in June and December.
Oh.
So I thought that was interesting. I thought maybe she was just passing through, because, you know, sometimes spirits will just wander through. They're not necessarily tied there. They'll just wander through. So I thought that's what it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it consistently happened. And in the Christmas season of 2012, might have been 2013, but anyway, one of the Christmas seasons, I had a friend staying the night with me, her and her husband, from out of town, and she told me the next morning, on the way to the bathroom, she ran into what looked like a woman in white.
Oh.
Literally ran into her.
Oh, like smack ran into her?
Yes.
Oh.
She said it freaked her out.
I'm sure.
And it was in the kitchen. She's like, I literally walked into someone, a lady in an old white dress, like from the early 1900s. And when it happened, I looked, and then it was gone. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. So, you know, she would come. I would see her every so often. This is the spirit I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a year, that's it. Well, in the back bedroom, there is a closet that goes under the stairs. There's always a male presence there. It felt very strong in that room. In fact, I basically closed that room off and didn't use it for a very long time, because that was the room that I got sat on in, and I didn't appreciate that. So I just decided to let him have his room and not figure out who it was. Through a process of elimination, I did figure out that the man in that room was the man who built the house.
Wow.
And he was angry because the house was remodeled.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Like, very mad about it.
Oh.
But he wouldn't talk to me. He would only talk to my other seer friends, people that see. He would not talk to me ever.
Wow.
And finally, my friend moved in with us for a little bit, and she also has experiences, can speak to the dead, and she is my graveyard buddy. She moved in with for a while, and she was able to get him to talk to her, and he said he didn't want to talk to me because it was my family that tore the house apart.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't appreciate that. So I was like, okay then. And he was looking for his daughter. We said, okay. He said that she had died in the house, and he hadn't seen her since, and he'd been waiting for her ever since he had died, and he thought after he died that they would see each other again, and they hadn't.
Oh.
So I did a little digging about who his family was. He had a daughter named Laura, who happened to die a year after the house was built.
Oh.
And so the next time I saw her, I said, is your name Laura? Because she would come, not only would she stand there, but she would come out to the porch and stand on the porch, because we have a tiny little bit of porch left. So she would come out, stand there, and I said, is your name Laura? And she said, yeah. Or she didn't say yeah. She said, yeah, yes, it is. And so I asked her, I was like, can you tell me your story? Like, I've seen you off and on for the past, you know, however many years. Would you care to tell me why you're still here? She would only appear on her birthday, which was in June, and would only appear when she had died, which was in December.
Oh, wow.
And she said that was when she was the strongest. She said that she had died very suddenly and very painfully. That she had died of a kidney infection that she let go too long because she was afraid that she was pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
She was 14. And so she had a boyfriend that her mother didn't like, and so they'd been seeing each other in secret, and she had all this pain, so she thought that she was in trouble, quote unquote. So she didn't say anything until it was too late, and then she died very, very quickly. And then I looked up in the newspaper, I found a newspaper clipping about him and his daughter, and it said, who died suddenly at Berwick on X date? And I may have the dates switched. It's been kind of a minute since I looked. It might be June instead of December on the death date. But so that's how I found out who our house ghost was.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a sad story, though.
It really is. And actually, what was keeping her and William, her dad, from seeing each other, even though they were literally spirits in the same house, which I had never experienced spirits that couldn't see each other before.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This was what was really weird. And me and my friend said, why can't you see each other? Her guilt over all everything and his guilt over everything was what was keeping them from seeing each other.
Oh, wow.
You would think that being spirit, all of that would disappear, but sometimes that's literally what's holding them there. So I asked her, what's going to help you get over that? What do you need? What can I do to help you? And she said, well, I would really like to see my boyfriend again, and I would really like to see my father, and I just feel like I'm stuck in this loop, because she would come in from where the stairs used to be, because her bedroom used to be upstairs above the master bedroom. So she would come down, come in from there. She would just kind of make a loop around the house, go stand out on the front porch, and come back. That's basically all she did.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, can you tell me who he is? And I couldn't believe it. When I was 8 years old, I received my first story from Spirit. And I thought for a long time I was just making it up. You know, when you're a kid and you receive these messages, you're like, I have a big imagination. And apparently I'm just going to go into another story, because it's really kind of a threefold story. There are two guys buried in the cemetery next door, literally next door to the church, which is great, you know, who died on the same day. In 1896, so it was after Laura died, but they died on the same day. And I always wondered, you know, what happened. And I remember asking them when I was in the graveyard looking at their stones. I remember asking them, "Hey, what happened to you guys?" Just like kind of automatically, like didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ramble or miss a step, please let me know, and I can like go back over it and cover it or something.
No, you're good.
Okay. So I remember asking them, I was like, so what happened to you guys? And the image I got was a very snowy, icy day, because they died in December. It was very snowy and icy, and they had a huge log load in a wagon. And something spooked the horses, and disaster struck, and they were both killed.
Oh, wow.
And they never really spoke to me. I just got their images.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that died was named Ernest. Well, I never really talked about that in the house. Like, it was just something that was always in my backlog of stories in my mind that I get. So I asked Laura, who was your boyfriend? And she said, well, Ernest Brown. I said, no way. No. Seriously? And she's like, well, yes. And she's like, whatever happened to him? Because she never left the house. So she never knew what happened. The whole time that she's been a spirit, ever since 1891, which is forever ago, mm-hmm. she had just been in this house, in this yard. So she didn't know he, you know, she was trapped here. She didn't know anything. So I had to tell her that, you know, he died not too much longer after she did. And she's like, well, can you bring him here? Or can I go, you know, can we meet up? So me and my friend facilitated a spirit meetup. Spirit matchmakers, if you will. We went to the graveyard, her and I, and talked. Tried to talk to him, but some spirits don't hold the, aren't able to actually, like, speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They can only communicate, like, through pictures, through, you know, senses. But his brother-in-law, who is the guy that died with him, spoke and said, you know, well, hey, you could talk to me and I might be able to tell you a story. So we were able to get the full story from them. And it turns out that it was not an accident. Oh. What happened with them was not an accident, but that's a whole nother tale. like I said, I've got so many stories, girl, I could go on forever.
Oh, yeah.
So we brought, we were able to do some things and we're able to get him to be able to leave the cemetery and come here, get her to leave the house and meet with him. So they were able to reunite. So one day I noticed the house really feels different. Somebody's not here. So I called her. And I called her name. Nobody answered. Because at this point, once I found out her name, I was able to say her name. And I would either hear her respond or she would appear. And I would be able to call her back and forth. Well, I couldn't.
Huh.
There was nobody there. She didn't answer. She didn't show up. I called Ernest. He didn't show up. They crossed over together.
Aww.
Yeah. I messaged my friend. I was like, Jennifer, they crossed over together, and I told her the whole thing, and that's literally what she said was, aw. I'm like, I know, isn't that sweet? That's so awesome. She's like, well, I wish Laura would have said goodbye first. I'm like, yeah, me too, but, you know.
That incredibly sad story didn't end there. It actually ended up being exactly. great.
And then a few months later, I noticed William's presence was gone, too.
Oh.
And apparently, after seeing his daughter happy and free and able to release herself, and seeing that someone was going to take care of this house, because we've had several renters who did not as well, so that was part of his anger towards me. Seeing that we were actually putting an effort into fixing the house and taking care of his land, or, you know, in his mind, his land and his home, he crossed over as well, too.
Wow.
So now I have no more house ghosts, but those were my peoples. And, you know, they didn't do a lot of quote-unquote ghosty things, but they did make their presence known every once in a while.
Nice.
So that's my first story.
That's great. I love how it was so incredibly sad, but the real actual ending of it was really nice and sweet.
Yes. I have a lot of experiences where it's just so like, aw. But yeah, it was nice for them to actually go on and be together, and wherever they go after, you know, everyone has a different opinion, you know, on what happens after you cross over. So
sure.
It's really cool that they are able to be together.
It is. So. That was a great story.
Thank you. I'm glad I got to share it. So the other story I have is a little bit more interesting. Well, I mean, interesting as in the ghost actually did things. In 2013, So, ironically, all this stuff is happening around the same time. I just thought about that. But
yeah, I noticed that.
All this stuff happened about the same here. I went through a really, really shitty breakup. Or bad breakup. I don't know if I can say that word, but
you can say whatever you want.
Okay, well, it was a really shitty bad breakup, but anyway. And I was really depressed and just like screw everything. And I was working a lot because that's what you do when you break up. You work more hours so you don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. And my coworker said, "Hey, can you come over sometime?" I was like, "Why?" She's like, "Well, I know you just had a breakup, and one, I want to cheer you up, but two, my house is really haunted, and I want you to come check it out because we're getting really freaked out."
Oh.
I was like, "Oh, really? Haunted, you say? I think I'm feeling better." I was like, "Sure, yeah, I'll come over." So I went over, and this is in Granby, Missouri, mm-hmm. which is an old mining town. Settled in 1850. It's old. It's full, chock full of ghosts. I mean, anybody that lives in that town will tell you that it's haunted.
Awesome.
Everybody agrees that it is. You can see ghosts walking at night on the roads. Like, everybody in town talks about the how chock full of spirit it is.
Wow.
So they had a big old house. Probably built 1880s, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of the houses, some architecture is, you can't really tell, but it's old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was just like, "Well, just like kind of tell me what you feel." And I was like, "Well, there's a lot here." And because I was so sad, it was really hard for me to get a lot at that first time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this spirit who decided to sit right now next to me and try to make me laugh.
Oh. That's so sweet.
He would just be like, yeah, he would just be like telling jokes and kind of like making fun of my friend for getting freaked out and, you know, just kind of like almost teenager-y stuff, but kind of like, you know, like trickstery, funny. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Making me feel lighter.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because she said that her friends had stayed over, and they were seeing black shadows, and that there was a woman in the back of the house who was scaring the kids. So I, you know, told her a cursory reading at that point. Like, yeah, you've got a woman and a couple kids and, you know, and this couple, a couple male ghosts. I was like, yeah, I said, I'll probably have to come back when I'm feeling a little more on point to kind of do it in depth. And she was like, okay, that's fine. So then I think it was a week or two later, she messages me and she's like, "So can you come back? Cause my friend is living here now and she's having someone feel her up at night." I was like, I'll be right over. So I went over, and her friend, who is actually now my friend, and that's my graveyard buddy, and the whole stories are tied together. She said, "Yeah, the spirit is touching my leg at night." Hmm. And, like, you know, just kind of like petting me at night. And it's kind of unnerving. I don't know if I like it. And You know a good person that's into good paranormal stuff when they don't just say, "I don't like it," but when they say, "I don't know if I like it." It's like, you like ghosts, I can tell. So I was like, okay, well, I just kind of like sat around and felt what was going on, and I wasn't getting touched. I didn't ever stay there overnight because after dark, it was a very oppressive feeling coming from the back of the house. And there was a woman back there who was dressed in all black, probably like 1880s style, 1890s, you know, with the tight fitting bodice and the long skirt and the, you know, the black proper, very prim and proper look.
Mm-hmm.
And she always looked very stern, very angry. She would terrify our friend's kids. kids. Like, they would look back there. They would just glance towards the kitchen and start shrieking and crying.
Wow.
This lady was awful. She would move things. She would slam things. She would glare at you. She was hateful. And yes, it is all connected. I said, we got her name, and it was Cora. Mm-hmm. And she hated everyone, and everybody was whores. I'm like, okay, is this the movie Carrie, or is this real life? So I told our friend's friend, I was like, you know, you see stuff, you can talk to him. Fill me in on what happens when I'm not here, because everybody seems to behave when I come over. And it's true. Like, nobody was feeling anybody up when I was there, but every time I leave, it would be a ghost orgy. And then they were telling me about this little girl that was upstairs. And the second time I was there, I saw her too. Kind of an indiscriminate timeline where she was from, but she said her name was Anna. Mm-hmm. And she called this other ghost who was feeling up the ladies at night. She called him Daddy.
Oh.
And so my friend asked him later, what is your name? Like, what's your real name? And he said it was John. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, that's cool. So I would go over there after work, like every, you know, basis. Actually, honestly, probably almost every night I would go and hang out with them. Because I really wanted to get the story of these three so vastly different ghosts. Because it appeared that John, even though he was playing around with people, he wasn't harmful. You know, he wasn't out to, like, scare them. He wasn't out to hurt them. He was just bored.
Mm-hmm.
The epitome of a bored male, basically.
Yeah.
And Anna was just kind of keeping to herself to keep away from scary Cora. Like, she would play upstairs and keep away. And Cora seemed to be the main one that was trying to run everybody out of house and home. So one night, we were all chatting on the porch, having a fun, laughing time, and I hear right in my right ear, like, someone's running at me and telling me something at the same time. Don't let me be forgotten.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, who said that? And he's like, John. I'm like, okay, why are you in danger of being forgotten, John? And he started telling how he is detached from the rest of his family. He is a lost ghost, basically. Like, his story is in danger of being forgotten because nobody in his family knows where he is. He's basically what's called a lost ancestor.
Oh.
It's where all your brick walls end up, uh-huh. Kind of. No one knows where he is. He is lost. So he's like, don't let me be forgotten. I was like, okay, I promise. I will never let you be forgotten. I'll make it my personal mission to make sure your story is not forgotten.
Wow.
So he began telling us, you know, his story of how he ended up there, and how Anna had ended up there. He wasn't sure. None of us were ever really sure how Anna ended up there. We never really got a clear story on her. She did say some kind of interesting things. Like, she would give us a story about falling down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
She would say that the lady is mean to her. You know, she was probably only about 6 or 7. We thought, well, maybe she had wandered in, you know, and hadn't, you know, been there very long. When one night, one of the teenagers that lived there, he was talking to his friend that lived in town who used to live there, and that girl was saying, oh no, that little girl ghost has been there since I was a kid. She used to play with my dollhouse all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she had been there at least, you know, 18, 20 years. So I always had the very deep impression that Anna did not die naturally. that she was probably murdered.
Oh, wow. That's
either sad. Accidentally or intentionally. Cora was so volatile. We bound her by putting a Bible in her way so she couldn't move from a certain place. We did everything. We eventually just had to, like, basically get rid of her, which I don't like doing because I want to try always to find out someone's story. Why are they here? Why are you mad? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
I don't usually have a case where I literally just have to get rid of the spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And that was what she was. She was just so corrupted and so devolved mm-hmm. that it was better just to banish her than to help because she was causing too much fear.
Mm-hmm.
And once we did that, everything kind of changed. It was calmer there. People weren't their worst selves. There was something about that house. Like every time you went in, it just brought out the worst in you.
Oh, wow.
So back to John. He was able to leave the house, come with us. Me and my friend really made really good friends with him. Like he would leave with us. He would speak with us. We got his, you know, we were getting his story. He had been a soldier in the Civil War. He was looking, basically looking for the rest of his family still. He was very, what I would call a cognizant spirit, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does.
I even had a friend tell me, she's like, are you sure he's a ghost? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you sure he's not someone just astrally projecting? Because, man, he seems really with it. I'm like, yeah. Pretty sure he's not astrally projecting, but thank you. In time, you know, we were trying to figure out who he was. He did give us several aliases as his last name. And eventually it came to find out that at the time, how he got to be in that house, because he had come to me as a teenager. And at that time, I had my vision shut off because I grew up very conservative and I was really afraid of things I saw. So I had totally shut off, but he had come to me when I was a teenager and basically just to help guide me where I needed to go. I just didn't know he was there. If that makes sense.
It does. You were shut off.
So I had been working in Granby actually couple months before this happened, which is really, really interesting. I had been working in Granby at the tiny little nursing home there for a couple months before this happened. And apparently, something had lured him to that house, and he got stuck there.
Oh.
To this day, I don't know what's wrong with that house. It seems like it may be a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
It may have some other elemental spirit attachment too, which is a whole other subject.
And oh, yeah.
Really interesting. later I might tell you about it because it's really a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not really cool because it's really awful, but it's also very cool too because it seems like in a lot of mining towns, they have this certain dark energy that follows them. And I don't know if it's because we go so far into the earth that we wake up something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. You're not the only one that thinks that. I mean, that's a pretty going thing, I think, with a lot of people who are into paranormal.
That's awesome. And I'm getting off on a tangent. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
So, you know, I was like, at the time, I was really opening back up to myself and, you know, I was like, so you don't want to stay at this crappy house, you know, where do you want to go? And he's like, I'll just come with you. So I was like, okay. And I know a lot of people say, you know, don't do that. But there was something about this spirit that I intrinsically, I knew him. Does that make sense?
It does.
Like my soul recognized his soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, you can come home with me. You know, it's all good. And I had other people, you know, looking at it too. And they were like, yeah, he is related to you. And I was like, really? I was like, John, are you related to me? He's like, yeah. I'm like, and you couldn't mention that like 2 months ago when all this started? So anyway, his story, you know, I'm still working on it. I'm actually turning it into a novel.
Oh, very cool.
There's a lot with that story. Probably would be a whole other time to tell about it. Uh-huh. But he was a soldier in the Civil War. He had one love, and her name was Sarah. And in fact, when we met him, he said, I'm looking for Sarah. And so, you know, that was a whole part of helping, basically helping him get back to where he needed to be, because whatever is in this house kind of degrades ghosts.
Oh.
And as you probably do know this, there are levels to spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guide type or an ancestor level type, you know, it's someone who's really been elevated, who has worked through a lot of their life issues and has chosen to stay on the spirit side to help guide, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But there was something about this house that was degrading that and bringing out the worst even in the spirits. It was even making little Anna be creepy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy little child. So it has taken me about 6 years now to break through a lot of his brick walls.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually used it as training for my abilities.
Oh, wow.
Which is really annoying. So sometimes I'm like, dude, just tell me your legal last name. And he's like, no, you'll find it. I'm like, dude. I'm like, dude, people are going to think you're playing me. Nah, you're good. You'll find it. But I have found him on a record since then.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I have found his grave. And I have found Sarah's grave. So basically over the summer, he just kind of fell into the guide role. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just helping me with my abilities and helping me with learning how to protect myself and, you know,
yeah,
all of that.
That's very cool.
But his family is my big project. That's my golden project. But I drive by that house a lot and I look at it and I'm just like, people are living there again. I'm just like, good luck.
Wow, Emily, those were such good stories. I love them. I think, like I said, the first one, the way it turned around, and it was so sweet at the end. But then the second one, it's so interesting to hear you talk about finding your guide and that kind of journey you went on. And I love that you shared that with us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was great. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
Totally.
Bye-bye.
Next.
So that was Emily's story. What'd you think?
That's crazy. I can't even imagine.
I know. It's so cool. I envy her somewhat.
I think you could have the same ability as her, though.
Yeah, well.
You have that maybe. Sixth sense, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
You just...
it could happen. We'll see.
One of these days.
One of these days, I'll get there.
Like, emotionally, though, I don't think I could handle talking to, like, the 14-year-old or the teenager that actually went through something like that. That sucks. The poor thing was just scared.
That would be really hard.
Yeah. What did you think of it? You glad about the happy
ending? Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really sweet how everything was all tied together in a bow at the end.
You know what amazes me is the fact that even after she passed away, she still needed help from, like, a human.
like a live human to connect her with her boyfriend before she allowed herself to move on, you know? It actually still took something like that to make her go ahead and move on.
It's really sweet.
It is. It's interesting how the two worlds still connects, I guess, if that makes sense.
It's nice to feel needed.
That's true. It's true.
So, we talked quite a bit, and she's got all kinds of places that we need to go and check out. She, like I said, she's a genealogist, so she knows her stuff about Missouri. And so she's a great, great person. And I'm super excited about all the stuff we'll get to do once the veil is lifted.
Yeah, no kidding. I am ready to go after we're allowed to.
So we are wrapping up Show Me Your Booze. This episode is as long as one of our normal episodes, so that's good. And I did want to mention before we close up that I left something out of Nana's story at the beginning.
Oh?
Yeah, and maybe the most mind-blowing thing of the whole ordeal, because I ask her at the end of the conversation, well, what kind of sound did it make? Was it like a plane or was it a whirling sound? You know, because it was spinning or looked like it was spinning. And you know what she said?
Don't you say it.
She said, it didn't make any noise at all.
Oh my God, that just blows my mind. So legit. I know. They are silent then. I mean, it's too many claims.
Well, and like I said, she would not, like, she has not studied this to know to say all the things that she said. Everything that she said lined up exactly with what people said in 1973. And I promise you, Nana has not been studying the 1973 UFO hype in Piedmont.
Yeah, she doesn't look up history, does she? Like, she just, she's more into, like, the news of today, not, like...
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, for real.
It blew my mind because she had all of those different pieces that we read that came from people of that time. And she just checked every box without me. I didn't lead her into, except for the noise, I didn't lead her into anything. She told me the story, and then, but I had to ask the noise question because that came up over and over and over again. And yeah, she said it didn't make any noise. There was no sound.
That's so like, crazy.
Shut up.
She shut up, Nana.
So anyway, that's
awesome. Yeah.
I know. I thought it was great. So let's wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Continue to review. Again, we will be back with sharing our reviews next week. We appreciate all of those. They help us tremendously. And we'll see you next week with a murder story, I believe.
Oh, snap.
Actually, it has family ties too, so it's very interesting.
Oh, gosh. I'm excited.
I know. Yeah. So, thanks again for listening. Come back next week. We love you guys so much.
Till then, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.